Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore. I am here for your WWE SmackDown audio review. Normally, Jake Barnett joins me for these Saturday morning productions, but he had a prior engagement, so I am flying solo today. And again, we do this every week, All Access, so that everyone who reads ProWrestling.net can hear this audio, but there is a ton of audio produced every week exclusive to .net members, including audio reviews of both WWE, Raw, and TNA Impact Wrestling. Jason Powell does a Q&A audio on Fridays, where members can ask both wrestling and non-wrestling questions. Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett get together on Wednesdays normally for the .NET Countdown, where they look at the best and the worst of professional wrestling each week. And, of course, on Thursday, Jason Powell and I get together for the .NET Weekly Show. It's our flagship audio show. We review all the news of the week. Had some very interesting conversations this week about the Jay Briscoe incident, Dolph Ziggler's concussion, the bill to Extreme Rules, lots of stuff there. And, of course, there is a ton of audio sitting on the site right now from prior years or prior weeks. Even all the audio that we've done is there for you guys to check out, including all the previous interviews with people such as Chris Jericho, Dutch Mantel, who of course plays Zeb Coulter right now in WWE, former WWE creative member Court Bauer, Seth Mage, Sean Waltman, Brock Lesnar even has an interview on the site. Tons of audio for you guys still there. If you want to check all that out, you get access to all the audio, the old audio, and the 6 hours or more of audio that's produced each week on the site. Plus, you'll get access to our ad-free version of the site, the .NET member forum, and the .NET member blog section. All you got to do is become a .NET member to get access to all of that. Simply head on over to ProWrestling.net and click on the right-hand side of the page where it says .NET member sign up. We will get you started for just $7.50 for 30 days. If you know you want to stay on for longer, if you're if you've tried it out already, in fact, if you're a member and you've been listening for 30 days, or if you know you're happy with the site and you just want to go ahead and sign up for a longer time period, we'll knock some off. We've got both 6-month and 12-month options for you. So head on over right now, become a .NET member, and check out all that audio and, of course, all the other perks as well. And just a quick note, I've been trying to throw this in when we talk about membership. Make sure you sign up to be in the .NET member forum. It is a separate sign-up process, no additional charge, but it is a separate sign-up process. You can use the username and password you use for the membership, or you can create a whole new one. It's totally up to you. But join us in the forum and help start talking, or help kickstart some of the talk there with wrestling and the other topics we talk about as well. But let's talk about WWE SmackDown. This was the SmackDown that aired on May the 10th. It was taped on May the 7th, about an hour and a half from here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I was unable to attend. In fact, I kind of missed this on the date. I didn't mean to miss this one, but It was a pretty good show this week. I was very impressed. WWE last week, not a great show this week. More of a wrestling show. Even the talking segments were pretty good. There were some misses. My hits and misses is up on the website right now, the WWE SmackDown hit list. So be sure to check that out. But yeah, I mean, a pretty good show this week, much better than last week. Not a lot of expansion on storylines, though. A lot of different storylines were touched on. Obviously, we had Dean Ambrose versus Daniel Bryan, a great match that you guys should go out of your way to see. And that added, I don't even know that it added anything to that feud between Team Hell No and The Shield, but it did at least touch on it. Ryback and Chris Jericho, very good match. Of course, they're not involved in the program together, so not a lot going on there as far as storytelling. We had some stuff. Randy Orton, Big Show was kind of a sort of situation. We had the World Heavyweight Championship moment where, of course, Dolph Ziggler suffered that concussion. If you haven't seen the show yet, this was the thing I was kind of the most interested in seeing, because I wanted to see if it was from a kick from Swagger like people had said, or if he oversold the kick and maybe that's what did it. And it looks like Swagger just got lucky with a kick, man, or unlucky as the case may be. It wasn't a very impressive looking kick. He just kind of caught him right in the face, and it was just in the perfect spot, I guess. Ziggler might have been bleeding from the nose a little bit. I couldn't see very well, or couldn't tell if he was, but he kept wiping at his nose and looking at his hand, so if it was a small trickle of blood, and I just couldn't make it out. But, yeah, I mean, just an unimpressive-looking kick, especially considering how well Dolph moved around from there. And when you read that he lost 2 days' worth of memory and all of that, it's kind of hard to believe that's the kick that did it. But it was. So if you're tuning in expecting to see some just, you know, horrible miss where a guy nearly gets killed, it doesn't look like that. Normally, Jake and I try to pull out the big spots of the show and talk about those from the beginning, but the thing is that, from a storyline standpoint, there's not a lot to talk about here. We got a repeat of Monday night with the World Heavyweight Championship, and then again, things are just kind of touched on, but not a lot of adding. In fact, some confusing things that happened with some of the storylines. Mark Henry, you know, getting a babyface cheer from the crowd and kind of... that was encouraged by WWE, really. They asked the people to do that. So not a lot to really pull out. It wasn't a very eventful show, but a good two-hour show. If you're looking for some wrestling to watch this weekend and the type of person who waits to see what SmackDown looks like and then read the reviews or whatnot, I recommend watching probably 80% or more of this show. Even the things that I called misses, very few of them are bad. They're just kind of misses, you know. They went out there and did their thing, and it was just kind of okay. You know, I don't know that there was a lot there to get excited about, but it wasn't bad. So certainly a show worth checking out. But we will start from the top and go through this thing again. It was taped on May the 7th in Raleigh, North Carolina. We opened up with Jack Swagger, a video of Jack Swagger destroying everybody with the ladder on Monday night, and then hyped his match with Big E Langston for later, as well as Daniel Bryan versus Dean Ambrose. The show opened cold. Lillian Garcia introduced Chris Jericho, who was sitting in the ring doing the highlight reel. He welcomed everyone and said tonight's guest will challenge John Cena at Extreme Rules in a last man standing match. And it took a long time to introduce Ryback. There were some weird pauses there that didn't make a whole lot of sense. Ryback made his entrance, came down to the ring. We got video of him hitting Cena with the chair. Jericho said people know he likes to mess with his guests, but tonight was different because he saw where Ryback was coming from in regards to Cena. And Ryback said he didn't need Jericho's approval. So Jericho asked Ryback how many times what he wanted was taken away and how many times he was assaulted by the Shield. Ryback said it didn't matter. And what was, you know, so what's your point? He said, Jericho said, well, you know, you keep saying Ryback rules. I want to know what Ryback's rules are. He said that, you know, he lived by his own rules and he developed enemies all over the company. And he thought Ryback was doing the same thing. Ryback said he didn't need Jericho's judgment. Jericho came back and said that there's a difference between doing what it takes to be Steve Austin and The Rock and beating a one-legged John Cena in a last-man-standing match. Jericho went forward from there, said the crowd is judging Ryback. He risked losing his entire WWE universe, or losing the respect of the entire WWE universe. Ryback said Jericho talks too much and asked him what made him think he wouldn't drop him right there. That got into each other's face. Teddy Long came out, hold up, player, if that's what y'all want to do, if you want to mix it up, then you can do it in the main event, and that's what he booked. Ryback and Jericho seemed happy about that. When Jericho turned around to look at Ryback, Ryback sucker punched him, knocked him down, rolled out of the ring, and went to the back. Not great mic work from Ryback. Jericho carried him and did most of the work here. The shtick of Jericho, which I am, as a rule, generally a fan of, you know, it was just kind of whatever. It wasn't a great segment. You know, it wasn't bad, and it certainly set up the main event and the reason for being there. But Jericho was, you know, kind of all over the map a little bit. He seemed to be, and I guess my biggest problem with this, and problem being a relative term, of course, is when the heel turn first happened with Ryback, my hope, beyond hopes, was that he was going to be, you know, kind of that tweener character, that in-between character that's not really a heel, not really a babyface. He's just kind of in it for himself. It doesn't matter who he fights. I thought that's where they were staying. Then, of course, he went full heel from there. But Jericho's discussion and kind of, you know, I understand where you're coming from. Just explain to me what your rules are, that sort of thing, seemed more, you know, tuned towards that idea of him being that tweener, him being that incomprehensible force where, you know, he's not good, he's not bad, he's just for Ryback. And so that's what made this a little bit weird for me. It should have been much more antagonistic, I thought, with Jericho being the babyface. And I realize he left as a heel and he came back as a babyface, and he's babyfacing, but sometimes he talks about, you know, making enemies and whatnot. He wants to be a tweener, I think, sometimes, but he's not. He's a baby, and Ryback is a heel, and that's the dynamic they should have taken. Instead, it was, you know, Ryback the tweener versus Jericho the tweener, at least verbally, that's what they tried to set up, and their actions just don't portray that over the past few months. So not a terrible segment, but not one that put a whole lot of heat on that match. The match ended up being very good, and we'll talk about it, or I'll talk about it here in a few minutes. But, yeah, just not a very exciting opening to the show, because the verbal reasoning of this didn't make a lot of sense. After commercial break, we got our first match of the night, Kofi Kingston defeating Cody Rhodes at 3 minutes and 42 seconds. No entrances for either man. Kind of a pointless match in that sense. Neat finish to it. Cody went for the disaster kick, but Kofi caught him with Trouble in Paradise instead. So a nice play off of that in a very cool moment, but a meaningless match for meaningless characters at this point. Kofi, you know, runs in later and adds a little something there, but at this point, not a lot to look at or not a lot to care about with this match because, you know, Cody's just been diminished so much, had a great match with Orton, but then nothing came out of it. Kofi Kingston, you know, there's hours and hours of audio of me talking about how bad Kofi's been beat up, so I'm not sure what the purpose of this was, especially with Kofi coming back out later, but there you go. After commercial, we got the video recap of Brock Lesnar destroying the office. And then after the video, Cole plugged a face-to-face encounter with Triple H and Lesnar on Monday. So that's something to look forward to on Raw. Backstage, Renee Young interviewed Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter. Coulter, she started to ask him a question. Coulter blew her off. I think he called her Reba this time instead of Renee. That's now my new favorite gimmick for Coulter is, what's he going to call Renee Young this week? Coulter called her part of the lamestream media again, and he just said, why don't you just stand there and hold the mic? He said that Swagger served a statement on Monday night and will make another one tonight against Big E Langston. He said every step that Swagger takes on the ladder at Extreme Rules is one step closer to taking the country back. He said being a real American means you hold your ground against all criticism and taking it one step at a time. Step one was regaining the world championship, and step two would be taking the country back. They put their hands over their hearts, did the We the People gimmick, and then Big E Langston made his ring entrance going into commercial break. A fair promo from Coulter. It's kind of the same thing. Just a kind of a basic promo from him, kind of cute. Again, I like the gimmick of how he's going to mispronounce Renee's name each time, so... I think he called her, I can't remember what he called her last week, but this week I'm pretty sure it was Reba, so I need to start writing these down so we can get a running total going here. It'd be kind of fun. After commercial was supposed to be Big E Langston versus Jack Swagger, and we got more footage again of Swagger beating up everybody with a ladder on Monday. Alberto Del Rio had joined the commentary team, and Swagger and Coulter made their entrance. Before anything could happen, Del Rio popped the headset off, ran over to the ring, pulled a ladder out from under the ring, and slid it in between both Swagger and Coulter, and of course Ziggler and Langston and AJ. Everybody kind of looked at it for a minute. Ziggler runs over to grab the ladder first. That's when Jack Swagger kicks him in the face, causes the concussion there. You see immediately... Ziggler grabbed his face, rolled to the floor. I thought he was going to be out for a while. But another melee breaks out with the ladder and everybody fighting, and this time it's Del Rio who enters on top. He knocks Swagger down. Ziggler ends up getting back in the ring, knocking Swagger down. After Swagger had taken out Langston, then he used the ladder to take out Coulter, then Del Rio enters, knocks down Swagger, tosses the ladder into his hands, and then hits a kick, and then threw the ladder down on Swagger at ringside, and so he was the guy who left standing there. He grabbed the championship, put the ladder up in the middle of the ring, climbed on top of it, and posed with the title there on top of the ladder. The segment itself was fine, except we just saw it on Monday, and I think that was kind of the point. It was, they wanted to replay, I guess you could say, what happened with Swagger and give Del Rio the heat this time, and I don't mind that is the plan, necessarily. I like what they were trying to do here, But it came across so much like Monday. It was like, okay, we'll just take what we did Monday, move people around, and Del Rio will get it. And part of me expects them to do it again on Monday with Ziggler the one that looks great. The only thing that, you know, there's a kink in that idea is, of course, Ziggler's concussion, and we still don't know what his situation is going to be. When you lose 2 days of memory, that's a pretty serious concussion. So I don't even know how he's going to be for next week. But that notwithstanding, if you take that out, it just feels like that's what they would do next. Because that's what they did here. They just exchanged pieces so that a different person is looking good as opposed to Monday night. That's, you know, just not a great way to do this. I like the idea of fighting over the ladder. I like the idea of Del Rio being the one that looks strong. I hope that Ziggler gets a chance to do that in some way before the show next week if he is able to compete. If not, I'm sure they'll find a way to make things work. But it felt like it was just a retread of Monday. Instead of it being new and fresh and kind of playing off of that, it just felt more like a retread than a call out to it or whatever. After commercial, we got footage of The Shield beating up the Usos and Kofi Kingston from Monday night. Dean Ambrose made his entrance with The Shield members through the crowd, of course. Daniel Bryan and Kane make their entrance, chase The Shield to the floor. We finally settled in for our second match of the night. Dean Ambrose defeating Daniel Bryan by DQ at 11 minutes and 46 seconds. A very good match. A good match, a lot of good spots, a lot of good storytelling. The guys on the floor, both Kane and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, the three of them, played their parts perfectly. There were, you know, a couple of run-ins or whatever, and, you know, Kane would be involved here, blocked there. I really liked how they set this whole thing up. You could tell a lot of thought process went into this, and they told the story that they wanted to tell. Kofi ran out at the end and attacked Ambrose as Ambrose was going for his finisher. You had Ambrose was in the no-lock, Daniel Bryan in the middle of the ring. That's when we had another interference. Kane stopping Seth Rollins from getting in the ring, but Roman Reigns was able to slide in, stomp Bryan to break the hold. That allowed Ambrose to set up when Kofi Kingston runs out and attacked Ambrose, and that caused the DQ and ended up in a brawl. The babyfaces cleared the ring. And Bryan standing there motioning for the six of them to get it on. The Shield didn't care and walked away. I'm fairly sure we'll get this on Monday, of course. But just a good match. And again, watch this match not just for the wrestling in the ring, but also for how everything works, how all these five of these guys work together to tell the story that they wanted to tell. I was very impressed. And it's definitely worth sitting through. From there, we got video that recapped the opening segment, Teddy Long booking the match for the main event. Then they showed footage of Mark Henry from earlier in the day doing the tractor pull. This is something Henry has done before. It's often something they do in World's Strongest Man competition, having the tractor trailer strapped to him. The primetime players were out there with him, cheering him on, and he pulled the truck forward. Everybody got a big kick out of that, and then they plugged that he was going to pull two tractor trailers later, or next, after commercial, I guess, which would be a world record. And after commercial, we did get footage of Mark Henry attacking Sheamus with the belt on Monday, as well as still pictures of what Sheamus's welts look like. Ouch. I know the milky white skin helps, but ow, oh my God, getting whipped with a belt like that just makes me cringe, mostly because I was whipped with a belt like that as a kid. Well, I guess not on my back, but you know what I'm saying. Colin Matthews at that point announced that the strap match had been set for Sheamus and Henry at Extreme Rules. And then we cut out to Mark Henry in the parking lot. Matt Stryker asked him about pulling the two trucks. Henry said, you know, people have pulled one truck before. He was going to break the record. He was going to show, you know, what he could do. And that way nobody would have any question about his ability to be able to pull Sheamus from corner to corner in the strap match at Extreme Rules. He tried a couple times to get going, failed. Stryker kept asking him questions. Henry ended up yelling at him and then finally was able to drive forward and pull the two trucks forward. He collapsed on the ground when he reached the finish line. EMTs that were standing there came over to check on him. Just so you know what quality of EMT they have, big shout out to Adam Page, a wrestler I work with here on the local indie scene. from Aaron's Creek, Virginia, who came down and served as an EMT, one of the three EMTs that were there. I assume the other two were indie wrestlers in the area as well and not actual EMTs. But if you get a chance to see it, he's the one in the middle with curly hair, Adam Page. Check him out. But they finally, they went over and checked on him. Henry was disconnected from the straps at that point. He stood up on one leg, said, "That's what I do," screamed it, stood up. And then Lillian Garcia said, "Let's hear it for Mark Henry." And the crowd gave him a big cheer, and it was very awesome. Except Mark Henry's a heel. What the hell are they doing having the crowd cheer for Mark Henry when he's supposed to be the heel? And I'm perfectly fine with a Mark Henry babyface turn. I think he's better as a heel. I think he's been great as the monster heel, and I think they should stay on that path. But if the idea is to turn him babyface, I'm not opposed to that idea as, you know, as a general concept. What I am very much opposed to is them doing it until after he's finished playing the monster heel. He's going into this match with Sheamus. He's supposed to be this badass. He's supposed to be the guy that can drag Sheamus around the ring, and that's what this was supposed to do. And they're having the fans cheer for him. It's just a weird dichotomy that I don't understand why you would want to get fans to cheer for your babyface. I know it was impressive, and I know he deserves the cheers as a general concept. But and of course, we don't know. I don't know if it was rigged or not. Obviously, it's wrestling, so I'm going to lean towards assuming that it's rigged. But, I mean, he may have been able to do that. I don't know. Mark Henry is a huge monster of a man, and anything is possible with that guy. But, again, I'm going to assume that whole thing was rigged. At least not the first one when he pulled the one truck, but the two afterwards. At least maybe got some help getting started. I don't know. If they keep pushing it as a world record and trying to get it mentioned out there, then maybe it was legit. But I tend to believe that it wasn't for those reasons. Still a very impressive feat, no matter what. Him pulling one truck is unbelievable to watch. But it was such a weird way to do this and to have him get cheered. I mean, you've got the heel tag team out there with him cheering him on, and you know, everything about this was heel moves and yelling at Matt Stryker. But then at the end, you've got Lillian Garcia in the arena. Everybody give Mark Henry a big hand. Kind of a strange approach for some reason. After commercial, we got a video package recapping John Cena and Ryback's events from Monday with the chair and whatnot. Renee Young was backstage again, and Randy Orton walked up. He didn't call her Reba, but he did. She did play the clip of Big Show knocking out Orton from Monday's Raw. She asked him what his message for Big Show was. Orton said he stuck his neck out for Big Show and got burned by two knockout punches. He said there will be no antidote for what he does to Big Show at Extreme Rules. Because, you know, he's the Viper, I guess. There's no antidote. Randy Orton promos are as paint-by-number and as uninspiring as you can get. They've been that way for some time. Every once in a while, he busts out with a good one. That was not the case here, so we'll move on. Big Show makes his entrance, and after commercial break, Sweet T and Brodus Clay are dancing in the ring with the Funkadactyls. That led to our third match of the night, Big Show killing Sweet T in 38 seconds. Actually, that's not fair. Sweet T probably had 36 seconds of offense, and then Big Show just knocked him the hell out. That's where they went with that. The match was over. Show acted like he was going to leave while Brodus slid into the ring to check on Sweet T. And Show decided not to leave. He came over. He grabbed Brodus. At that point, sorry, Joe Blanco with his name there. He grabbed Brodus, stood him up. Brodus started fighting back. He knocked Show into the ropes, but Show bounced off the ropes and hit the spear on Brodus to knock him out. He's setting up for yet another knockout punch when here comes Randy Orton fleeing down to the ring, slides in the ring, and hits an RKO on Big Show. My problem with this, and the crowd got a big, you know, yay out of it or whatever, and I understand that. My problem with this is that Big Show was supposed to be a monster. And the story here is supposed to be, or at least should be, that Orton can't beat him. You know, Big Show keeps knocking him out. He talked about that, you know, briefly in the promo, that he had been, you know, he'd been a victim of two different KO punches, and, you know, he was going to get his revenge at Extreme Rules or whatever. And I don't mind, you know, Orton being the badass and standing up and saying, you know, I can beat Big Show or whatever. But I do have a problem with him getting over on Big Show. I realize that they've wrestled a million times at this point, and Orton's beat him a million times. And so there's no reason to kind of beat to death the idea that he can't beat him or whatever. But that's where the story needs to be. That's what they need to be doing, and that's kind of what they've been at with Big Show knocking him out left and right. But every time that Orton is able to get over on show, it takes a little something off of the story, and I think that's a mistake. When we talk about WWE creative shooting itself in the foot a lot, this is what we're talking about. This is a very simple, cut-and-dry story. The monster versus the big babyface that everybody loves. The monster keeps getting over on the babyface, so you pay to see him get beat up. What, now that Orton has gotten over on Big Show, why do I tune in on Sunday? Why do I care anything about this match? We saw Big Show laid out. Yes, they can put more heat on Big Show and have him attack Orton this next week in the go-home week for the show. But why spin your wheels like that? Why have to do that? Why not, if you're going to do that anyway, why not continue to have him get over Orton? And so even though we've seen Orton beat him a number of times, Orton's not been able to get over on Big Show this time. He's not been able to hit the RKO out of nowhere. He's not been able to do anything. Maybe Show's changed. Maybe Show has learned from prior mistakes. Maybe Show is going to take care of it. I don't know. It's very strange to me that this is what they're going with this by having Orton get these moments over on Big Show. And there's not been a lot, but any of them don't make any sense to me. You know, I think there's a better story to tell here if they would just tell the obvious story and let Big Show keep knocking Orton out and let Orton be frustrated that he's not able to do anything. And then if he gets the win in Extreme Rules, awesome. And especially if Big Show is going over, at least if this is going to be a couple of months long, then all the more reason why you let Big Show continue to be the dominant force, have him beat Orton at Extreme Rules, and then you start questioning whether, you know, why Orton is able to, or what, you know, why he's not able to take on Big Show and build to that second matchup. So certainly a miss for me on this case. Backstage, we cut to Caitlin, who bumped into AJ. AJ goes, "Oh, excuse me, sir. Oh, I'm sorry, Caitlin." It's something about big arms or something like that. They traded insults back and forth. I kind of liked it. I thought it was funny. AJ said that Caitlin was reading the text from her secret admirer. AJ made a comment about a woman's not supposed to be able to bench press more. What Caitlin said that maybe it's Dolph. Maybe he wants a real woman. AJ said that you're not supposed to be able to bench press more than your man, and Caitlin said maybe he's looking for a real woman who doesn't have the body of a 10-year-old boy. Nice stuff there. I think Caitlin and AJ have good chemistry together when it comes to getting this stuff over. They're very close friends, or at least they were. I assume they still are. Travel together all the time and whatnot, and so I think they just, you know, it's like when you have friends that sit around and cut on each other, and some of the best stuff comes out like that. I mean, some of the stuff is mean, but you know it's all in good humor and whatnot. I think that's what you get here. I think they just have great chemistry together because they're friends and because they've done this sort of thing for a while, and now they're doing it for the cameras, and it works. But Natty walked up at that point. AJ had the line of the night. She said, "See you later, gentlemen," and walked away. I thought it was good. I thought Caitlin and Natty played it off well. Natty started asking about Caitlin's boyfriend again and not knowing who it was. All of a sudden, she starts talking about Khali. Caitlin points. There's Khali standing there in a Rey Mysterio mask crammed on top of his big-ass head. It didn't fit. He's got, like, one eye you can see. He starts singing Rey Mysterio's theme, snatches the mask off, and says, "That's me, baby." God help me, I cracked up. I did. I laughed my ass off at this whole thing. Natty, you know, Caitlin told him that told Natty she appreciated it, but he didn't have to be undercover anymore. Natty said that the Khali, she goes, "And you definitely don't have to look like Cody Rhodes." They showed him with a terrible mustache, half cockeyed glue on his lip. Khali was grinning. Look, I know it's cheesy. I know it's ridiculous. I am willing, I've said this for many, many months and years now at this point, I'm willing to not only forgive but embrace one one comedy spot in any show. I think there is a place for that. Some of my favorite matches I have ever seen. I remember my first ROH show was a comedy match between Grizzly Redwood and Colt Cabana, and it was fantastic. It entertained me to death. There was a comedy match I saw at a Chikara show here in North Carolina one time. It was one of, probably the best match I saw that year. I think I even said that for maybe 2011 it was that year. Was my favorite match of that year. It entertained me greatly. And so there's a place for this every once in a while. I know Jake didn't like it a whole lot, and I wish we were all audio together because I'd have to give him a hard time. Because I did. I laughed. And if you hated it, I understand. I'm not saying you're wrong. This cracked me up. Kali standing there with that stupid Rey Mysterio mask, he tried to fit his big-ass head in. Was just great. I thought it was fantastic. But if you hated it, I understand. It was just me. I liked it. I thought it was funny. Brief. They did it. They got it out of the way. I'm really okay with that. And then after commercial, that led to our fourth and final match of the night, your main event, Chris Jericho defeating Ryback by DQ at 15 minutes and 2 seconds. The finish came when there was a really good finishing sequence. Ryback hit the meat hook clothesline and stood up and lifted Jericho for shell shock. Jericho slipped out and hooked a roll-up that he flipped over into the walls of Jericho that I thought looked very good. It was a good visual. Sometimes he doesn't always get it set in deep enough. For whatever reason, Ryback was able to take that and let Jericho really sink it in. Ryback finally crawled to the ropes, made the ropes. Jericho hit an immediate code breaker, and Ryback rolled to the floor. When Jericho went after him, Ryback attacked him, picked him up, and dropped him crotch first into the ring post when the ref called for the bell. That kind of crap drives me nuts because that's not consistently done. I don't mind it being a DQ, but let it be a DQ every damn time. But still, a very good match, and again, it leads to the question of what kind of match is Ryback going to be able to have with John Cena at Extreme Rules, because I think that Ryback is very much like John Cena. I wrote this in the hit list. If you give him the right opponent, he's going to do a good job in the ring. If you give him the wrong opponent, he's going to look like crap in the ring, and that's true for John Cena and Ryback. The question is, are either one of them the right opponent for the other? I just don't think you take two guys who can be carried to great matches and put them in there and have a great match. We've seen it with Kane before. Kane can be carried to a great match, and he's very athletic. And when I say carried, I don't mean that he's not doing any work. He just has to have the right opponent in there to be unbelievable. And more guys than not can do it with Kane. Cena is a little more limited in the guys that we've seen that he can do that with. Ryback, we've seen twice now, 2 weeks in a row, both Daniel Bryan last week and Chris Jericho this week. He has the ability. But I just don't know that he and Cena have that ability. The last man standing stipulation may give them enough shortcut space to make it work. But I don't know. To me, that's kind of the most intriguing question going into Extreme Rules is what kind of match quality are we going to get out of John Cena and Ryback? And if John Cena's heel is hurt and he needs to take some time off to rest, is Ryback going to win the title for that reason? I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to see play out. Of course, post-match, Ryback acted like he was going to ring, but then came back and clotheslined Jericho over the announce table and then stood over him smiling and then finally walked up the ramp to close the show. So again, a good 2 hours. I know this has been a very short audio, but if you look at the segments, there was only, just a handful of segments and not a lot to analyze because so many of these matches were out of place and out of time for what's going on in the general feud. Ryback and Jericho, for example. I mean, there's 15 minutes plus another 15 minutes-ish of talking time. So there's 30 minutes of the show. That's one quarter of the show right there built on segments that don't have any weight going forward, at least initially. They may come back to Jericho and Ryback down the road. Right now, Ryback is with Cena. Jericho, presumably, is with Fandango. So it's, a quarter of the show was set up for things that didn't really advance anything. Same with, Kofi Kingston and Cody Rhodes not having a point. Dean Ambrose and Daniel Bryan, while having a point and certainly an impressive match, that feud is kind of where it is. Team Hell No versus Shield is a known commodity. I don't know that they can build it any more than it already is. They just need to announce the match. So I apologize if you were looking for the long audio. You guys probably don't want to listen to me talk all by myself for very long anyway. But, yeah, so a short audio this week, but a good two-hour show. Again, I recommend you check it out. I'd give it a B+ if I were to give it a grade. Above average, certainly, bordering on excellent. And so, yeah, that's your SmackDown audio review for the May 10th SmackDown. Jake and I will be back next week for a review of the WWE SmackDown show. And, of course, next Sunday night, Jason Powell and I will be here to cover the WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view headlined by John Cena versus Ryback in a Last Man Standing match for that WWE Championship. We will have an audio review of that show as well, but it will be exclusive to our members. And I do have the date right this time. I know I screwed that up a couple of weeks ago, but it is next week. It is May the 19th. And again, Jason and I will have a members exclusive audio review. So if you want to get access to that audio review and all of the audio, all the perks of being a .NET member, sign up right now. ProWrestling.net. Click on the right-hand side where it says .NET member sign up. $7.50, and we will get you the entire month as a .NET member. Thank you guys for listening, for your continued support of the .NET site. Jake and I will be back next week. Until then, everyone, have a great weekend, and take care.